we go. There we go. We are simulcasting. There is the proof right there in the pudding. I'll tell you what, that is amazing. I didn't like that voiceover, but, well, I'll get used to it. Next time we'll try to tune that a little better with the clock to make sure that doesn't override the opening of the show. I want to welcome all of you to the new station, 24-hour station, Alternative Public Radio International, around the world on multiple platforms. You can hear us now on Facebook. You can hear us on Twitter. You can find us on Google. You can hear us on your smartphone. You can hear us on your tablet, your television, if you have a smart television. People listening from all over the world on multiple devices. I tell you what, this is really cool, and I'm really excited, and we are blessed. I don't use that word very often. We are really blessed to have all of these platforms and to have this technology. And for me to walk in out of the forest just now, literally in the forest is where we are, and here in the Northwest, and for me to be standing outside talking to all of you around the world on this platform is truly amazing to me. I don't comprehend it. I don't even let on like I comprehend how all of this works. It's alien to me. And if it was left up to my techno brain, we wouldn't even be on air tonight. We'd be talking on a string in a can. I tell you, I've got some wonderful people in this studio working with me who really are tech savvy and know how to operate this equipment. We are on with Charlotte Webb tonight. We are going to be talking about CPS. We're going to be talking about the corruption in the family courts. We're going to be able to talk about a little bit in depth about children being taken away from parents, and both men and women and children suffer when these things happen. This is a big issue. This is not a little issue. I've got two major issues on my Facebook page right now. One is mortgage fraud, and the other one is the family court corruption and CPS corruption. And this is a big deal that it, you know, you don't get into it unless it hits you in the face. We have a lot of people who say, oh, that's no big deal, blah, blah, blah. Family courts are doing great. CPS is wonderful. No, that is not true at all. And I tell you what, unless you've been faced with this kind of catastrophic event to have your children ripped out from under you, you're not ever going to know what suffering and pain really is, because that is one of the most catastrophic things that could happen to a person. And I want to welcome my guest, Charlotte Webb, tonight. Charlotte is from Louisiana. She is from Pineville, Louisiana. And she studied individual and family studies at LSU and Tulane University. And she is a wonderful, wonderful lady. Hello, Charlotte. How are you doing?
Hi, Kyla.
How are you tonight? How is the weather there where you are in Pineville, Louisiana?
It's sort of cool, but nice.
Cool, but nice. It is raining,
yes.
Raining like hell up here in the mountains where we are, and it slacked off a little bit. I went out in the forest a while ago with my headset on, and then I realized I had my headset on and decided I better take cover because I didn't want to get it wet and break it before the show. Charlotte, you've got a story to tell. You have had some suffering. You've faced what many, many families are facing in the United States and around the world. And that is having a child taken away from you by CPS and having to deal with the family court, as well as your own situation with your mate that you had this child with, or maybe not. I didn't talk to you about that. But why don't you tell us your story, Charlotte? Why don't you let everyone know how all of this came about, and just give them your story.
Okay, in 1978, I had a little 11-year-old daughter, and I was in a relationship with a prominent OBGYN in Alexandria, Louisiana, a doctor.
Mm-hmm.
And he had gone to prison for income tax evasion. And when he got out, of course, I was finished with him, but I had some items at his house. So he called me and asked me to come pick them up. And so he beat me severely. And he wanted a pardon because he wanted to be able to hunt. So he told me he would let me go if I promised not to press charges. Well, I made the mistake of going into town and pressing charges. And, of course, I was... you know, pictures was taken of me and everything. So about that time, I would say a couple of weeks later, the Alexandria Rapid Parish District Attorney, Ed Ware, called me at work and told me that if I didn't drop the charges against Dr. Bauer, that he would have Child Protection Service take my little child. So I said to him, Your Honor, that sounds like extortion. And he went ballistic, and he said, young lady, I'm going to teach you a thing or two about extortion. And so anyway, a couple of days later, I worked at the psychiatric hospital, and I saw all these cop cars coming, and later I found out they were delivering subpoenas for two people. Maybe I had disagreements in staff meetings about disposition of the patient or so. So then I got called to come to the Child Protection Office, and I took an attorney with me, and because I didn't really understand what was going on. So the child protection worker, her name was Jane Odom, met us, and she told the attorney, asked her if he could have evidence to prepare my defense, and she told him Child Protection does not have to provide evidence. So, anyway, the attorney said he couldn't represent me. So, anyway, I had this court hearing, and frankly, Tyler, it's hard to believe, but everyone in the courtroom was totally intoxicated except me and the court reporter. That included the judge, all of the prosecutors, the district attorneys, my child's father, who barely had a high school education and was allowed to assist in my prosecution. Anyway, it was a week of horror, absolutely horror. The child protection worker, Jane Odom, died of an accidental drug overdose right in the middle of the trial. I don't know what I was found guilty of. I was so traumatized and frightened that, I couldn't think. And later I found out that I had post-traumatic stress disorder from the ordeal. And so 2 weeks after the court hearing, the judge died of alcoholism complications.
God. Well, tell me how old you were, Charlotte. How old were you when all of this transpired?
I would say I was probably about 27.
What kind of experience had you had in real life dealing with situations like this or similar to this before this happened? Anything traumatic happened before? Were you prepared for this, or was this like hit you right out of left field?
Well, it really hit me right out of left field. I had had many problems with my daughter's father. He was a great person when I married him, but once he started drinking, which was before I got pregnant with my daughter, and afterwards, he just became violent and stayed drunk all the time and wouldn't visit her and wouldn't pay child support. Of course, I didn't want that from him. That had been difficult, but I had an undergraduate degree in psychology. Mm-hmm. And, of course, I knew some about human behavior, but this totally floored me.
Mm-hmm.
I did not know that anything like this existed.
Mm-hmm. What kind of family support did you have at that time?
Oh, I had wonderful family support. My mother came and testified in my defense. I have wonderful, very, very close knit family, four brothers and sisters. We grew up out in the country at Super, Louisiana, but we were instilled with values, natural family values. Our education was really instilled in us, and we had to make straight A's.
Yeah.
So we were very religious, brought up in the church, and they were wonderful and supportive, but just shocked. And the loss of my daughter, of course, their granddaughter and niece, to her dad, who was just a total violent drunk, was just horrible.
How tell me about the police. How did they handle you when you went down to talk to them? Did they try to lure you in to the courthouse and try to lure you down to the police station, or how did that work?
Do you mean when I went and set fresh charges?
Yes.
Just the doctor?
Yeah,
oh, they received me very well. I don't think that, well, I don't really know, but they didn't seem to tried to keep me from pressing the charges. You know, they took pictures and so on. So I didn't have any problem with that. And frankly, I wasn't concerned. You know, I felt that I had done the right thing, and I just went on with my life of work and taking care of my little daughter and, you know, just being the best person that I could possibly be.
Yeah.
And so I had ambitions to go on to graduate school in social work, but I was postponing it, trying to figure out how I could possibly support my daughter and attend graduate school at the same time.
Right. How hard was that to go to school and to try to study and do all those things during your life? Did you have a lot of trauma going on, a lot of situations going on during the time you were going to school?
Yes. I moved from Alexandria, Louisiana to Baton Rouge, Louisiana I got a promotion in the administrative offices of mental health and substance abuse, and I started my master's program at LSU in clinical social work. It was very, very difficult because I'm an excellent student, but I had, I was allowed 1 hour of supervised visitation with a child protection every 2 weeks. So with my daughter, so I would drive from Baton Rouge to Alexandria. That's about 2 hours, eager for those visits. Now, my child's father, during the court proceedings at the end, I was allowed to make any requests for my daughter who would be in his charge. So one of the things I stood up and asked for is if she could continue attending the church we were going to, and Sunday school and singing in the choir. So her father, my ex-husband, stood up and said she would never enter an organized church, that she was in a, he called it Baraka, it sounded like a religious cult, and that she would listen to tapes and attend whatever meetings they had. It sounded like brainwashing. And a caller, to me at that time, I was already just frozen in fear, but something about that just overcame me. Well, I later checked out that, and that was popular in Pollock, Louisiana, which is on the outskirts of Alexandria. And an emphasis was on that certain people are the devil. And so I was that person, according to them. Mm. And so during my child protection brief visits that were supervised, if my little daughter didn't call me devil and accidentally said, "Mommy," the child protection worker would end the visit and escort us out. And this, I have found out later, is what they do. This is that supervised visitation. Certain buzzwords, "I want to go home to my mommy and daddy," they will end those visits. And you may have had 5 minutes, 10 minutes. You're out. You are out.
Yeah, I hear these stories every day from people in my Facebook network who are going through the same similar type situation that you went through, these horrific events that are going on and people are having to suffer through. I don't think people realize how many millions of people are going through what you went through here in the United States. You know, there's 270 million plus people in the United States of America, and a lot of people are suffering this right now, going through this corrupt CPS system and the corrupt family courts that should be shut down completely and restructured and reorganized. And I know how traumatic it was for you, because I have a family member going through this very same thing right now, and I know that it's traumatic. I know that it's it just breaks your heart, and I know the terror and the fear that they instill in people, and it seems like that's what they want to do. You know, you would think, Charlotte, that they would not want to instill fear and terror in people. You would think that this system would be there to put people back together again and to try and make everything all right. I wonder why that's not the case.
Well, there's very big buts in this. All governmental agencies are reimbursed based on negative outcomes. For example, Child Protection is reimbursed for every child they can take and place in foster care. Now, so certainly that's their advantage. Mental health agencies are reimbursed for each person they can keep sick rather than get well and so on. So, and then the judicial system is so corrupt, there are, you know, these child protection workers, they will just outwardly say, we don't have to follow the laws, and they don't. So people are not aware, I don't think, of this. And also there are other incentives. For example, in my case, to settle a grudge, to use my child to settle a grudge. In these good old boy and girl networks, this is rampant.
I know it's rampant in the court with the prosecutors and the judges and the defense and the different district attorneys and things. I know that it's corruption is rampant in these courts, and I know that the good old boy network still runs strong, and I know that the women prosecutors all try to be in the good old boy network and try to do what the good old boys want them to do. I've seen that firsthand. Working with cases in court with different people that we used to work with, I've seen that good old boy network full force ahead, you know. And it does exist, and people need to realize that this court system needs to be restructured and reorganized. I don't know what it's going to take, though, Charlotte, to make that happen. I don't think enough people are involved. I don't think that enough people understand and comprehend just how corrupt this system is in the United States. And I know that the mainstream media is not covering it like they should. I know that we here at Alternative Public Radio try our best to cover all of the things that need to be covered. What do you think it's going to take, Charlotte? A revolution? Are people going to have to eventually just rise up with all of these other things that are happening with the forced vaccinations and the chemtrails and all of the mind control drugs that people are being prescribed and all of the other Flint, Michigan dirty water and the Syrian refugee invasion? You think people are just going to finally get it up to here and just say, to hell with this, and pick up guns and start shooting? Or what do you think is going to happen eventually? It's getting worse every single day.
Yes. Well, I think it is ongoing. It is happening in the form of grassroots advocacy groups. We are springing up all over the United States, and I understand in the UK. And what we do is try to provide information to victims that instead of paying out all of their life savings and working to pay defense attorneys, that they can research the laws. Black's Law Dictionary is available on the internet and represent themselves. Now, what I did, I went on and did doctoral studies after my master's in clinical social work, and I also went to law school at the same time, not that I wanted to take the bar or become a lawyer, but I wanted information about the laws. So we're advocating and trying to spread information that people do not have to let these CPS workers in their house without a warrant. And, you know, other things about that they need to be to do on themselves. Now, what happens, when these CPS workers come calling, people, parents, are just paralyzed with fear, and they can't at that time think, you know, concentrate and focus.
Yeah.
They can't, you know, it's just so frightening. I have seen videos of CPS work on the stand in court proceedings. And, for example, I saw was testifying, and she said, "Your Honor, Judge, these parents have severe, deep-seated psychological problems. They actually cried and screamed, 'Please don't take my children,' when I was taking them from their home. And they are harassing me with phone calls. How can I get my children back?" You know, it's that type of thing that these people just don't get it. And there are hired gun psychologists all over the United States who will testify that these parents are mentally ill. And it's life. It's just, I know clinically this area, so I can't be fooled. And I'm trying to get that information out along with these advocacy groups that, you know, it's very difficult. And these children who are taken and placed usually with pedophiles, because they're big bucks for them, and they get the children. These children are going to have lifelong problems with attachment, with abandonment issues, fear of abandonment. They will not be able to establish healthy relationships. Going through the developmental stages, our life script is usually written by the age of 6.
Mm-hmm.
So then they reproduce, they have children, and they teach them the same thing to alienate parents and so on. So in my opinion, Child Protection Services, Family Court, has done so much to destroy natural family law values in this country. And I think that they are part of the major cause that we're having such societal breakdown and people turn into alcohol and drugs, which is an epidemic at this point.
You're so sweet, Charlotte. You have such a sweet voice. You know, I'm so proud that there are grassroots organizations out there doing what they're doing. And I know that there are a lot of good people out there trying to help and working really hard around the clock at what you're doing and trying to educate people and help people. You know, I wanted to say tonight that we live in a very dangerous, paranoid society. And we live in a place where parents can't even trust their own pediatrician. They can't even trust their own doctor. They can't even trust a counselor. They can't even trust a family counselor. They can't trust anyone. They'll be tattled on. They'll be told on. They'll have stories made up on them. I see that happening up here in the Northwest all the time. It's almost like they're out to get you, you know, and some parents don't realize this. They'll take a child to the doctor.
Right.
They'll take a child to the ER doctor with a bump on the head. And the next thing you know, the police are there and the SWAT team knocking on your door. It's horrible, Charlotte. It's horrible what's happening today.
It is.
It's almost like they're being trained to take all the children away.
Well, they definitely are. They certainly have training sessions on how to do that. Now, what I'm afraid isn't going to happen but needs to happen is there needs to be expert oversight of this somehow. I know, I have learned that even in schools, teachers are involved in this and will hold things such as they call drama therapy and teach these little children or try to get them to portray that they are being abused so that they can get them into foster care. Now, extended families who love these children are not considered because that would be family reunification, and these governmental agencies are not reimbursed for that. Remember,
I see.
They are reimbursed for negative outcomes. If they reunify a family with the children, parents and the children, they don't get money. They don't get money for that. But if they foster the children out to, and very, very frequently, they go to pedophiles, to people who are drug addicted and alcoholics and violent. And so they have to keep them in this foster care system in order to get reimbursed because they are a governmental agency.
Well, you know, I know some folks in the Northwest who live like hillbillies, and their children are snotty-nosed, running around naked with their diaper being pulled behind them, and they're just the nicest folks you would ever want to meet, go over and play dominoes and play tag. And the kids are running around with snot running down their face and their stomach and naked and dirty diaper, and those are just the nicest parents you would ever want to meet in your life, and those kids are growing up in the best home that I could think of.
Yes.
And yet CPS would think that was the most horrible thing in the world to see a little kid running around with a little snot on his face pulling a dirty diaper behind him. But, you know, they got it all wrong. They've got it all wrong. I've seen prostitutes raise their kids perfectly. I've seen tip dancers raise their kids perfectly. I have seen people that live like complete garbage raise their kids perfectly. So, you know, there needs to be a complete revamping, a complete reorganization of our psychological systems and the way that we look at these things and the way we analyze these situations. You're right, Charlotte. It's a money deal. It's a money deal.
It is. It is.
You know, they're not looking at the family as a unit. They're not looking at reality when they look at families. They're looking at money. You're making me see this more and more, that they're looking at the dollar. There's some big dollars going on here, right?
Yes, there are. And another thing that I am very outspoken about, I'm a retired licensed clinical social worker, and these evil culprit child protection workers call themselves social workers. which is wrong. They like to cloak themselves. Hello?
I'm here.
Okay.
I was just going to say that I study, you know, I'm a social worker, about as social as it gets, and I've studied social work 101, and I love social work. I love it. I love to study social work. And you're right. They're not studying social work. The ones that call themselves social workers are not social workers.
No, they aren't. But, Tyler, the reason they like to do that is because they like to cloak themselves in as being honorable, like social workers, true social workers are, and altruistic. So that is totally a disguise. And every time I see on Facebook that they are called social workers, I fire back.
Yeah, and I'm going to start firing back on that, too. I'm going to write an article about that. You know, my family member, who I can't mention the name, he's a big old boy, and about 6'6", and works every single day, and, you know, makes a good chunk of money, and is always at work, whether he's sober or not, and raising two girls by himself. Boy and a girl, I'm sorry, by himself, and has a has a hooker for an ex-wife and a crack addict, and CPS wanted to give the kids to her. And she's out sleeping with every pimp on the block, and CPS wanted to take the kids away from him and give them to her. And you know, he's a big old boy, and when CPS started bothering him, he used the F-bomb a lot on him and just told him to F off. And he said, "Don't you call me again. Don't you come to my door again. Don't you beckon my front yard." He said, "Do not bother me. I work every single day. I make a paycheck. You know where I work. You know what I do. You know how many hours I put in. And I'm trying to raise these kids. Leave me the hell alone." And by God, they did. After a while, he just kept bucking them and bucking them and bucking them and bucking them, and he wouldn't buckle under. He would not buckle under. And so I'm going to tell parents out there that it's hard to be that way. It's hard to be that way when you see police and you see CPS, but don't buckle. They want you to buckle.
No.
That's what they're there for. They want you to buckle under and bend over, and they want you to let them do whatever they want to do. Like you said, don't let them come in your house without a warrant.
No.
And don't let them pull the wool over your eyes, right?
That is right. And don't start paying defense attorneys big bucks, because what they will do, they are in with these CPS workers.
Yeah.
What they will do is delay. Well, the parent hasn't completed this kind of service plan, and all of this nomenclature that they use that people need to familiarize themselves with through the internet. I mean, you can look anything up on the internet, and so people have at their fingertips all of this information. Everyone has an iPhone or whatever they're called, and now they have access to information that we used to spend hours and days in the libraries trying to look up. Tyler, I keep saying, knowledge is power.
Mm-hmm.
So
knowledge. You're exactly right. Knowledge is power, and people can't just buckle under and give the kids up. That's what so many families do here in the Northwest. They buckle. Even if they're perfect parents, they still buckle.
Yes.
It's something about authority that makes shuts people down. Something about authority, authority. And by the way, I wanted to let everyone know, CPS is a fiction. It is a fictional organization.
Yes.
It is not a governmental organization. It is traded on Dun and Bradstreet just like every other corporation is. And they run statutes and ordinances, which is illegal, which is a fiction. Statutes and ordinances are a fiction. They have nothing to do with the Constitution, nothing to do with the preamble, and nothing to do with the Declaration of Independence.
That's right. Well, now, I think this is funny. I have, since I have been so vocal on Facebook about this issue, the attorneys are coming out of the woodwork after me.
Mm-hmm.
I don't have any fear of them. You know, you don't understand. How can you be attacking us? And you don't know law. I most certainly do know law. I went to law school.
Mm-hmm.
You know, it's, they don't want their playpen messed with.
Yeah.
And these grassroots advocacy groups are gaining power daily, hourly, because we are relentless. Once you have been through this or had anyone, like in your case, a family member experience it, it's gotten to the point it's so rampant. Most people have had at least someone in their family struck by this.
Mm-hmm.
That is how rampant it is. And another thing we're advocating, and I want to say this, is that you, everyone who goes through this publicly, name names and roles of everyone involved, the judge, the DA, the child protection worker, name their names publicly. And even though the liberal media will not do this generally, there's so many resources for media publication available now.
Yeah, like we are right here, like we are right here.
Like you are right there, and I'm so grateful to you all. I think this is just such a needed service, and we cannot depend on the liberal media. However, it has become such an issue. Some of them, like ABC News, has begun have the investigative reports and forums and that sort of thing, but it's still very rare.
You know, I also want to inform people tonight who are listening to keep records,
yes,
and more records. Keep your record of your phone calls, keep a record
everything
of what was promised, and if you can get a $75 recording rig, hook it up on your phone so every call will be recorded when it's picked up, and keep all of your documents in one place in a file.
Yeah.
Don't lose anything, and make all of your appointments. If you say you're going to be somewhere, be there.
Yes.
And, you know, documents and document recording. Yeah. Document everything.
Document everything. Time, place, who said what to whom, their names, everything. Another thing that is being denied, and this is illegal, is transcripts of the court proceedings.
Mm-hmm.
They take minute-by-minute transcripts of there's a court reporter who takes it. But those are destroyed immediately afterwards. So when people request them, which is their legal right, they are denied routinely.
I understand they destroy a lot of records in court and a lot of evidence in court and a lot of other things. What would you advise parents to do as far as if they do have to hire an attorney? Is there any specific thing that to remember or something to look for when you try to hire an attorney?
Well, that's difficult for me to answer. Now, there are beginning to be some attorneys who are coming forward and beginning to prosecute these child protection workers. For example, there's an attorney, I've seen him on YouTube in Arizona. His name is Sean, S-H-A-W-N McMillan, M-C-M-I-L-L-A-N. And he is fantastic. He interrogates these CPS workers and, you know, his cross-examination is wonderful. So, you know, I am also advising people to not only name names of the bad officers of the court, whoever, but also name names of the good. When one of them does well for you, you know, publicly name their name.
Yes, we do that here at Alternative Public Radio, and it works miracles. We name names of good people, and it really, really opens up a wonderful, wonderful box of roses when you do that.
Yes.
And I also wanted to ask if there's a page that these people can be exposed on. That I've looked at groups, and I don't see that happening a lot, where people, when they go into one of these cases and they get mixed up in one of these cases, if they can run it publicly on a page and scare the hell out of these CPS workers and these judges. And how much of that is legal, and how much can you put on there that's legal?
Well, in my opinion, and of course I'm in a, I'm sort of insulated because I don't have young children. I do have grandchildren, but they are grown. So I don't have the fear of, say, a lawsuit for defamation. I don't have that. But what I recommend is go on Facebook and key in such words as child protection agency, advocacy groups, fathers' rights, children's rights, and then you can follow those links and posts. You can also do that to a limited extent on Twitter, but YouTube, and of course, hopefully you all will start getting out this information. So those are the things I recommend. These are very powerful groups, and you know, we're grassroots. We're not greedy. We just want our children back and reforms in these in CPS and family court.
Now let
That's what we want.
Let me put the fear of God in those folks who need their children taken away from them. Let me say something that's going to shock many. Be careful what you put on your Facebook page 2 years ago that you forgot about. I want you all to listen to me very, very carefully. The government has your name. They have your number. They have your information. And as of today, 2016, February the 7th, 2016, they are able to pull up all of your information via a computer. They're able to dig up all of your relationships, all of your affairs, all of your pornography, all of your child pornography, if you accidentally clicked on a child page, just to even look and see what's on there. Hell, we've all done it. I've done it as an investigative reporter. I've looked at child porn pages to see how easy they are to find. I can be called a child rapist in court. So be careful what you say. Be careful what you have said. And let me just put paranoid. I'm going to make you paranoid. Some of you are cringing right now. I know some of you are cringing, thinking, oh, my God, they can't see that. Oh, my God. Well, I'm sorry. It's too late. You cannot delete anything on social media. It stays there forever. So those of you who have those things on your Facebook page, you better be church-going, God-fearing, good little citizens, because they will come after your ass and they will win.
They will. And, Tyler, I would like to say something else.
Go right ahead.
Now, I'm a very spiritual person, religious, but I am so disappointed that religious clergy and leaders of all denominations who are at the forefront of this issue, because traditionally we go to our clergy leaders, our pastors, our priests.
Well, we used to be able to do that.
Yes. But they don't, I am so disturbed that they don't take a stand and speak out about this issue that is destroying children and families.
I've already been there, done that. They don't want to get involved. I have
been
to three different congregations, been to three different boards, and trying to get help for families, and they do not want to get involved. They do not want to open their mouth. They do not want to participate.
Now, Tyler, I'm just throwing this out, and I hope it's not true, but is it because these politicians and good old boys donate to churches to be seen of men, and these religious leaders don't want their pocketbook?
Of course. They have lawyers. Guess what? These churches have lawyers. They have judges.
Mm-hmm.
They have prosecutors. They have CPS workers that go to their church and donate big bucks. They're on the boards of directors, and so they're in the devil's pocket. So they don't want to get involved, and they don't want to help out. And they should be letting us have a show at their church, just like this show right here. They should be letting us come and speak at their church, but they won't, because they consider someone like me someone of the devil. They'll say, do you believe in the Holy Spirit? Do you believe in Jesus Christ as your Savior? Well, then if you do, you're going to do exactly what I tell you to do in my church, and you're not going to talk about this. And you're not going to talk about that, and you're not going to bring this up, and you're not going to bring that up. Well, hell, that's communism.
Yes. Now, a few rabbis have taken a stand and come out publicly. Very few. Occasionally, a Pentecostal leader will come out, thanks to Gerald Price of Lake Charles, Louisiana, who detailed and name names in his book, The Darker Side of Justice. I highly recommend that book to anyone who potentially may have these encounters. He's a wonderful man, and he has been retaliated against severely. He had his three little grandchildren taken by CPS, and because I think the way I understand it from a book, and I do have him as a Facebook friend, that his daughter, the children's mother, Miss Price did get his three children back finally after years of battle.
Yeah.
But they put his daughter in St. Gabriel Prison, and she, as far as I know, in retaliation, and as far as I know, she is still there.
Well, you know, I just really cannot understand how we have let this system get so out of control. I cannot comprehend it in my wildest imagination. I can't. People are so passive. People are so sheeple people, the passive, massive, sitting back, waiting for the catastrophe to happen, waiting for the disaster to happen. We seem to be a nation of people that wait for the roof to cave in on the people and crush them, and then we get excited and say, oh, we should have done this and we should have done that. Well, we need to be doing that right now for these families that are losing their children. We need to be talking about this on air at least once a week. I need to have a guest on and have Charlotte on, even. Have you back on, Charlotte. And we need to get this information out, and we need to make this station available to all of those out there who are going through this and all of those who are suffering through this. I've made a lot of enemies out there because I'm so outspoken. I made an enemy yesterday with a woman who's going through CPS. I posted one of my spoken word pieces on her page, and she went off on me, thought it was about her. And I said, you know, I post spoken word on everybody's page. I'm a poet. I'm a writer.
Yeah.
That's what I do. Oh, no, this was directed toward me. Oh, it was horrible. I said, look, I posted that on 32 pages, lady. don't feel so special, you know. So anyway, that's behind me now. But I'm making this station available to everyone who is going through this. And I want Charlotte to help me get the word out that they can come over and we can go on air. Ladies and gentlemen, this is Kyler Davenport. I'm on with Charlotte Webb. We are talking about the corrupt CPS and family court system. We're talking about people losing their children. We're talking about all of these different things that affect all of us at one point in time or another, or a family member, as Charlotte said earlier, at one time or another. And you need to be prepared now. You know, I want you parents to think, you know, well, it's not going to happen to me because I go to PTA and I go to church and our kids at hockey. Well, no, that's not true at all. It can happen to you tomorrow. All it takes is one neighbor or one friend to get pissed off, and you're in it up to your, you know what. Okay? Isn't that right, Charlotte? Isn't that right, Charlotte?
That is true. And, you know, it's so important to remember a lot of political power is gained by the good old boys and girls. You would be amazed. Not only political power, but, of course, financial gain.
And as you said earlier, they're getting paid for children, basically getting paid for children. The more children they can steal, the more money they're going to make. And the more children they can get on drugs and pharmaceuticals, the more money they're going to make. The more children they can institutionalize, the more money they're going to make. So, you know, what a
Tyler, I would like to add, if I could, historically, this horror, CPS Family Court, has been compared to the Salem witch trials and the McCarthy communist scare. Now, this has lasted years and years longer than either of those. There were some humane individuals and often religious leaders who intervene in those to horrors. But this has been going on many, many more years, and it is comparable to those.
Well, nobody ever listens to me, but I'm going to say anyway that the Child Advocacy Network, Child Parent Advocacy Network that I haven't set up yet, is probably going to be set up by yours truly, Kyler Davenport, and maybe Charlotte Webb. All of these groups need to come together on one syndicated platform. And if they don't, it's going to set us back 50 years. Every group that's out there needs to be talking to every other group that's out there. Now, I know some tell me, oh, we do. We cross network and we do this and we do that. No, you do not. You do not even understand what I'm talking about. You need to be cross-promoting each other, and these groups need to slowly, these advocacy groups need to slowly come together on one page and have that one page where people can reach all of the different groups in that genre of child parent advocacy. I hope someone's listening to me out there that will do this. I don't really have time to do it. This is really not my focus. My children are grown, and I don't have CPS after me. I don't have all of these agencies after me. So I'm not as motivated to do this. You know, I do enough on air, you know, without building a syndicate. So you all need to syndicate, and I'll say it again. You need to syndicate. And this is power. As Charlotte said, knowledge is power. Wisdom is even more powerful. And the wisdom would be you groups coming together and syndicating your efforts and not duplicating your efforts. And also, I would also like to say, speak English to these parents. They do not understand all of these technical terms and all of these legalese terms. If you're going to talk to parents, talk to them plainly like we are tonight. I always get on to the mortgage fraud people on my page. They talk technical. Nobody can understand all of that shit. People want to know Jack and Jill went up the hill and bought a house and put the money in the bank and blah, 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 blah. A, B, C, D, E, F, G. Make it simple for people to understand. And Black's Law Dictionary, yes, is wonderful, but it's only one component of 1,000 components to get you out of trouble. So you understand this is a very complex situation when you're facing court, when you're facing the police, when you're facing these municipalities who are after you and your children to divide the family. It's a very complicated situation, and as Charlotte said again, when you're under threat, when you're under duress, when you're fearful, it's going to create such stress on you that you're not even going to be able to think straight. So get along with your family, get along with your spouse, get along with your children. You know, try to just be aware that these monsters are out there after you. You know, I mean, I hate to make people paranoid, but in this day and time, we have to make people paranoid, don't we, Charlotte?
Yes, yes, we do. Yes, we do, because we are watching family law values, natural family law values, just being destroyed right before our very eyes. And I don't know how anyone can stay silent on this. I've been at it 38 years. I haven't been silent.
38 years, and you're just now kind of going on Facebook about 6 or 7 weeks ago. Is that right?
I went on Facebook about 6 weeks ago. I had heard a lot about it, but I didn't want to post silly pictures and things like that on their personal things. But once I realized that this issue is so rampant and so many grassroots organizations springing up, and that it was a way for me to get involved and, you know, share my knowledge and my skills and my love for humanity.
Right, and you know that they're watching every move you make, and they're watching
yes.
every advocacy group and making them into terrorists.
Yes, I know. I know. But what I say is my message, our message, is greater than our fear.
Right, right. I agree. True for you, but it's not true for a lot of folks out there.
That is so true. That is so true. I'm at a point in my life, I'm retired, and I don't have little children, and I certainly appreciate that, Kyla.
Right. Well, I want to thank you for coming on the show tonight, and I want to thank you for all of your wisdom and all of your hard work and your passion in this area. Keep up the good work, and I want to invite you on with me a few times. I'll let you know when. I'm getting a little backup. Hello, are you there, Charlotte?
Yes, I'm here.
Oh, I just got thrown off air for 5 seconds.
Okay,
so we're having a few technical difficulties. I'm going to end the show now. Charlotte, I want to thank you so much for coming on, and I want to wish you well in your mission. And I want you to help me get the word out that we are here as the official network to bring people on to talk about these issues with people who care. Ladies and gentlemen, Kyler Davenport on with Charlotte Webb. This is Alternative Public Radio International, simulcasting with blogtalkradio.com. We are also simulcasting out there on Fastcast. You can find us on your smart TV. You can find us on your Android. You can find us on your tablet. You can find us on your PC. We will have a barcode that you can scan pretty soon out there to bring us on to your apparatus to be able to listen to the show and the station 24 hours a day. We've got some of the greatest music on this 24-hour station. And I want to thank all of you for listening. And remember, whatever you vividly imagine, ardently desire, and enthusiastically act upon will come to pass, ladies and gentlemen. Thank you all for tuning in, and thank you, Charlotte. Are we going out with music? No, we're not. So goodbye, everyone. Goodbye, Charlotte.
Goodbye, and thank you, Kyle.
Thank you, sweetheart. Bye-bye.